Hey y'all, before we jump into today's episode, we would like to invite you to a special event we're hosting on May 30th called Women in Whiskey. Join us for an adult field trip filled with Southern fun at the Jack Daniel's Distillery right here in our home state of Tennessee. Get ready to learn while sipping. We will be taking a private tour of the distillery, enjoy a barbecue lunch on the beautiful hillside, and partake in early happy hour with cocktails provided by Jack Daniel's as we listen in on a conversation with women who work in the industry. The conversation will be led by yours truly, your hosts of the Steel Magnolias Podcast. Learn more about the event at steelmagnoliaspodcast.com. You can grab your tickets there, and we cannot wait to see you on May 30th. And now, on with the show. Did you know the largest indigenous fruit in the U.S. is practically unheard of these days? Today, we discuss the pawpaw, a delicious, juicy, almost tropical-tasting fruit that you can't find in the grocery stores. We'll discuss the why of all that at the table. I'm Lainey.
And I'm Laura Beth.
And we are
Steel Magnolias.
The strength of steel with the grace of a magnolia.
We are here to have uplifting conversations about life in the South.
And we've got plenty of room at our table. So pull up a chair. Hey, Laura Beth.
Hey.
Did you see the induction ceremony video of Peyton Manning?
Oh, for his induction to the Hall of Fame. He got his gold jacket.
Yes.
But no, I didn't see
the
video.
You've got to watch it. It is precious.
Okay.
You know he's like a dream guest for me to be on the podcast.
Me too.
I'm just, please, Lord, let that door open.
Peyton, have your people call us.
Yeah. I just, the more I see him in like comedy settings, in induction, you know, like in speeches, he is precious.
There's really no other well-rounded athlete out there that can do that many things, that has good business sense, that's funny on SNL, that
I
can.
I mean, he does it all.
Yeah. That's also such a pro athlete. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just an all-around great guy. So.
Well, I'll have to, maybe I'll watch it. And is it worth linking in the show notes?
Should oh, for
I just
sure.
Put, okay.
It's
all right.
So cute. I mean, I know I'm biased because he was a Vol, but it's just so great.
That's awesome.
He's a great Southerner. So is his dad. So are his brothers. Like, they're just great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Family.
Legacies.
Yeah.
Good legacies.
He gives a nod to his dad and his brothers. Yeah. It's
awesome. Oh, that's
awesome.
Okay. So just jumping into this topic. Pawpaws. I wondered before someone heard your intro just now if there was anybody that thought we were talking about either pets
grandpas.
Or grandpas. That's the two things I was thinking of. Okay, are people thinking we're talking about
we're talking about mamas and pawpaws? No.
I'm sure there's people out there
that's
that
hilarious.
Call their grandpa pawpaw.
Oh, for sure.
But that's not what we're talking
that's
about
not.
Today.
We're talking about fruit. And I first think of the song, and I'm not a singer, but I'm going to just, so y'all know, this is me being vulnerable. Picking up pawpaws, put them in your pocket. Picking up pawpaws, put them in your pocket. Have y'all ever heard that?
Way down
yonder in the pawpaw patch.
It vaguely sounds familiar, but if you were like, name that tune, I wouldn't been able to fill in the words for you. At all.
That was my first thought when I think of pawpaw, is that just cute little catchy song.
It's like a kid's song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then another thing that's funny, I just finished a Bible study with Christy McClellan.
Oh, yeah. So good.
And it was so cute as she was doing the study. She apparently is from Mississippi.
Okay.
And she refers to, this is so funny, when you're not doing the things you should, when you're in the flesh or in sin, whatever you want to call that.
Yeah, just doing things your way, right?
she refers to that as when I was in the pawpaw patch.
Oh, so it's a bad thing to be in the pawpaw patch to
her. Well, she's just like, oh, when I was way over in the pawpaw patch.
That's hilarious.
And the Lord met me there. Like, I just thought that was so Mississippi and so funny.
That is hilarious.
To say that.
Well, I want to give you kudos as I try to as best I can on content ideas, because today's topic was all you. It's pawpaw season, and you happen to know that because you're on top of things. But how would you describe pawpaw fruit? Because this was something that you had more knowledge of than myself.
Well, the first thing I wanted to say is this is not exclusively Southern.
Sure.
It is very much Southern.
Yes.
In fact, a lot of the famous stories around it are Southern. But it's more, I didn't know this, but it's really more of an Eastern United States thing than it is a Southern United States thing.
Yes.
So, apparently,
not East Coast.
Not just Coast.
But just Eastern.
But definitely on the East Coast, but not just East Coast. So, apparently they mostly grow between the Atlantic Ocean and the Mississippi River.
Okay.
And another thing that's important is they really like to be near water.
Okay.
Apparently. So I guess they do well next to creeks and rivers and
the Mississippi.
And oceans and, you know, because they like moist soil.
Yeah.
So that's why you're going to see them often in those kind of places.
Okay.
And they also grow in temperate climates.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, apparently, you hear pawpaw patch because a lot of times they are in like cluster.
Right.
Like you'll see not just like one tree, but like several together.
Pawpaw forest.
Makes a little patch.
Yeah.
And most of them grow, I think usually you're going to see them about 15 to 20 feet tall.
Okay.
But they can get like 45, 50 feet tall.
Wow.
That's just unusual
to see one that's
that big.
Yeah.
So they're often under other trees. Like they're growing under bigger hickory trees, oak trees, things like that. So I just thought that was interesting if you're looking for them.
Well, I was going to say, maybe that's another reason why they've been overlooked. But I mean, I don't think if for the largest edible fruit trees of native North America, I think the percentage of people that know about these is pretty low.
It's funny. Yeah. I want to get to later a talk to about a guy that's like just like the guru, he's so fascinated with the pawpaw that he's got like, it's unbelievable all the things he's doing. But the beauty of the tree is mostly the fruit.
For sure. For sure.
So there are various species of these that have different fruit flavor even, but generally it's all, they all look similar.
Yes. So let's talk about the look and taste and all the things related to the fruit.
Okay. So first of all, just in talking about the tree, the trunk is fairly skinny.
Okay.
I mean, I guess if it's getting up to 45, 50 feet, we're getting thicker trunk, obviously.
Yeah.
But generally it's a pretty skinny trunk. And it's pretty smooth.
Okay.
You know how some
probably not a good tree to climb.
Really, but no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
The leaves are dark green. They turn yellow in the fall, like a really bright, pretty yellow. And the leaves can be up to, they're usually around longest ones, like 12 inches long.
Okay.
This is kind of a funny thing, but apparently if you crush the leaves or
like muddle
rub
them.
The leaves.
Okay.
Yes. Muddle. It smells a lot like, people say it smells like a bitter green pepper. Green
really?
Bell pepper. Like that's the smell. So if you're wondering, like, is this a
pawpaw
tree? Because I don't see the fruit. Because not all of them are going to have the fruit.
Right.
All, you know, obviously not. Unless it's August to October, they're not going to have the fruit. And even then, they may not be fruiting trees yet. Or
for maybe whatever they've just been picked. Freshly picked. Yeah. That's a great test.
And that's a way you can know.
A sweet green bell pepper has a very distinct
unusual
smell.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's a good test.
Now, I am not a botanist to understand all of this, but apparently these are not pollinated by bees.
Okay, I did read this. I thought this was strange.
Slightly
gross.
They're pollinated by flies or beetles.
I don't know why that sounds so gross
it does
to
sound,
me.
Just if you say flies, it's gross.
It
flies
is.
Flies are gross.
Pollinating flies.
Yeah. So I don't understand all of the science behind this.
Yeah.
But I do know with things, there's male and female.
Right.
And that's how you get fruit.
Yes.
Is through one male and one female.
Yes.
Be it a tree or a whatever.
Yeah.
You have to have one of each to have fruit. So with that, the flies / beetles are the ones doing the pollinating on this.
Right.
The flower which has the
fruit in it,
has the pollination to make the fruit, apparently has kind of a little bit of a stenchy smell.
Hence the fly attraction.
It's a pretty flower.
Okay.
Kind of a maroon color. Mm. To me, it almost resembled what a Rose of Sharon flower looks like. A little bit kind of like that. That's just my own interpretation. But anyway, that smell attracts flies.
Yeah.
And then causes that.
That's so funny when people can't.
And we're cringy-faced.
I know.
Right now.
I was going to say, this is a moment where if we had a video component to this podcast, y'all could see our cringed up faces.
Can I
anytime
just,
we say the word fly or
stinky, that would be pretty funny for listeners to see. Hopefully it's coming across even in tone. But can I just tell you, I'm gonna go even a step grosser. Is I literally heard somebody talking about this on a video that said, oh, and if your trees aren't producing fruit and you really need to get more pollination happening, just put some kind of roadkill nearby.
No.
I'm not kidding. I saw that. Yes. They didn't show it, but.
Gross.
I know. So disgusting. Anyway, flies and beetles are what do the pollinating. But then this is where I get like, oh my gosh, people know so much more scientifically about this stuff than I even care to know. You can self-pollinate with a paintbrush where you're getting a paintbrush and, you know, getting the pollen from the male and putting it on the female.
Oh my gosh.
To get fruit going.
That's amazing.
You'd have to watch a video
that's why
from
there's
somebody that's much more of a guru than I.
That's why there's majors in college
right?
for this kind of stuff. This is a trade for sure.
But yeah, the fruit is the prize of this
yes.
tree. And so the fruit, it's a green, almost bean shape, kind of.
Yeah.
It reminds me of an avocado in the sense of it has a skin with all of the gushy softness inside.
Yes.
An avocado has one big seed, whereas this has many smaller seeds.
The seeds seem like they would be annoying to
in
pick
eating
through.
This?
To me, the ones that I saw pictures of, it just looked very cumbersome to weed through all that. Just
apparently,
to get,
it's just so tasty.
Apparently,
that it's worth it.
I was going to say that's exactly right. It's one of those things where even little bites are worth fighting those seeds.
But most of them vary in size. The biggest ones you'll see are about a half pound, but most of them are, you know, more like the size of an avocado.
Yeah.
Or even maybe a little smaller than that.
Yeah.
They're often in a cluster. So on the tree, you'll see two, three, four kind of all growing off together in a cluster.
Kind of like a little coconut cluster.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a great example. They're ripe from late August to early October, hence why we wanted to talk about it right now in case you have the availability to grab one.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be in the next weeks ahead. Now, once the fruit falls on the ground, they're ripe if they're falling off.
Right.
And animals are pretty quick to get them just because they're so wonderful for animals.
Yeah.
So raccoons like them, possums like them, deer sometimes like them, squirrels, you know. So if you have a tree or access to a tree, you got to kind of keep going out there because
They're in high demand from humans and animals.
Exactly. Yes. Now, if you squeeze the fruit, it's going to have a bit of a give. Almost, this reminds me of avocado, too, for
how
some
to know.
Reason. Like, if you just push on it and it's soft, it's
yes,
ripe.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Another thing that reminds me of the avocado is, you know, once it's ripe, you only get a couple of days.
Yes.
So, apparently they refrigerate really well.
Okay.
So,
but I've heard that they don't freeze well, which is a problem for what we'll talk about later in stores.
Yeah. But yeah, once they're ripe, you can put them in the fridge and they can keep for 2 to 3 weeks.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But, once they're, so they're green, this reminded me almost of a pear. They're green.
Yeah.
But they bruise kind of easy and they'll get like
blackish little spots.
And you can
kinda
still eat it even if it's black.
Yeah.
Like you can, it's not that it's rotten.
Yeah.
It's just ripe
yeah.
when it's getting those dark colors on there. So Yeah. If it's black, it's very ripe. You're going to have to eat it quick.
And then inside, that fruit color, that flesh is like a pale to bright yellow,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. And it's custardy, is you know, kind of a custardy feel.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just eat it with a spoon.
It sounds like
literally
you could.
Just scoop it out. And like I said, there's going to be, you know, maybe 4 or 5 seeds.
Yeah.
In there that yeah. you got to work around.
Right.
The flavor, people give different descriptions of mm-hmm. it, but the one you hear the most is between a banana and a mango.
Yes, which I love both of those things so much. This sounds like the most epic smoothie, right?
It totally does.
Or just like you were saying, just get a spoon out and enjoy it.
Yes.
Just with its own, with no other added flavors, but it sounds like perfect smoothie material, too.
Totally. Occasionally, you'll hear people say it reminds them it has a little bit of a pineapple flavor yeah. to it or a melon.
Yeah, I've even heard cantaloupe okay. in there. Just so, that sweetness. I yeah. guess if there's different levels of ripeness, you know.
And it can have a bitter. Like, there's mm-hmm. some of them apparently have, like, a bitter note, that, but not all of them. I even heard one person describe it as Tutti Frutti bubblegum. Do you remember Tutti Frutti?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I do.
Now, that sounds more dramatic than what I picture
yeah,
this
that
is going to taste
like. Sweeter
because
it's added sugar.
But it just cracked me up because I'm like, that's a distinct. Tutti Frutti was like a distinct flavor. So
now knowing the flavors, that makes sense of why it's also, the pawpaw is also called the Appalachian banana.
Or I've heard hillbilly banana.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
makes
it's
perfect
got that
sense.
Banana flavor.
And it's something that you can literally eat in your head, like out in the field.
Yeah, I read a story actually that was someone that was really just starting to get into sustainable living. Like okay. they were really feeling convicted to learn how to feed themselves.
Okay.
For a variety of reasons.
Okay.
And this was one of the fruits that they were going to start with because they felt like this was, it was somebody in the South. So it's okay. like native to this area. They were just trying to get as basic as they could back to
the land.
What it would be like if you had just landed in this area with no innovation and progress.
Yeah.
So
well,
I thought that was
so
interesting.
I'll just go ahead and jump into a story I was going to tell later. And that is apparently, you know, these rumors that come around from stories of old. Apparently, Lewis and Clark had written about that they had to live for 3 days only on pawpaws.
Wow.
That's all they had that was edible
yeah.
to sustain them
yeah.
to stay alive.
Yeah.
So they were very grateful for the pawpaw.
Yeah. So they're kind of over it, though, probably at that point, though. It's lost its golden lackluster excitement. Yeah.
Well, I think we should get into one of the main reasons you're not going to, you know, we've enticed you to want to taste this now, but why can't we just go to the grocery and grab one? It goes back to the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Everything comes back to the dollar. So apparently they don't stack well.
Yeah.
And they don't ship well.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And as we mentioned, in terms of even shelf life, they've got about a 3 to 5 day window.
Yeah.
Of being, you know, ripe and purchasable. So that's not a long enough
it's
time,
feasible,
even if you could
I
get
guess.
Them there, even if they were stackable
yeah.
to get them there. Because as I said a minute ago, they don't freeze well. And so, like, because I personally buy frozen mangoes year round.
Yeah.
Because I use them in things like smoothies. Mm-hmm. So
I buy frozen cherries.
If
a lot
this was available
for that reason, yeah.
in frozen format, I would have interest in that. But apparently they don't freeze well. So,
well, that but, makes them all the more enticing, which is also why you'll see them on like fine dining menus where they're making, you know, frou-frou desserts and things
yes.
with pawpaws because they know not everybody's going to be able to get it. So
right.
let's, you know, bring it in as the.
It's like the soft shell crab approach.
No,
it's
hilarious.
Such a delicacy. That's funny.
But it's apparently because it's similar to a banana, there's a lot you can do with it, like bread, pawpaw bread, like
yes.
a banana bread. It's even, I found several, again, this may be more for the keeping it, making it, the
like,
chic unusual thing.
Okay, yeah.
Used in brewing of beer.
Really?
Like there's pawpaw beers
okay.
out there if you wanted to, I don't know how much of the flavor actually comes through when you've got yeast and hops and everything
true.
else. But
that's so true.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
I saw ice creams, custards, jams, all of those make good pawpaw flavoring. And then, yeah, I mean, anything. I'm such a bread lover. So anything I saw with pawpaw flavoring sounded good. I even saw pawpaw pancakes.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds
doesn't
delicious.
That sound perfect? Pawpaw salsa.
Ooh,
if you like
you've seen mango salsa.
I was going to say, if you like a mango salsa, then you
which
probably
I kind
like
this. I'm kind of like, I like my salsa spicy, so mango salsas are a little weird to me, but I would try it.
I like it paired with certain things. Like, I like a mango salsa on, like, a fish taco.
Oh, that's true.
Or, like, just with certain.
Yeah,
I don't really
true.
Like it on beef, but, yeah. Yeah, puddings, breads. It's all got my vote.
Custardy.
Yes.
You know, like, anything you could think of that you could use with custard, like even with the pancakes, I think about the consistency of pumpkin.
Yeah,
and you know how you'll see pumpkin pancakes.
Yes,
and yeah,
that's so
that
true.
Would make sense.
That's
that
true.
You could do pawpaw pancakes.
That's so true.
Well, apparently George Washington and Thomas Jefferson were both lovers of pawpaws. They had them planted at Mount Vernon and Monticello.
Okay.
And the rumor is that Washington's favorite dessert was just chilled pawpaw.
Really?
I
wow.
Don't know. If these stories come about, you know,
I know.
By someone who toured Mount Vernon and saw one tree and came up with these stories.
Or, yeah.
Is that really true? I don't know.
Did the cook write that down and passed it down in their family line? So
yeah.
Now we know. Who knows?
But. Who knows? But I can see how, I mean, things were simpler. It's not like they had a million ingredients to work with all the time. So I can see how in the September, October, he would have,
sure,
like, you know, really enjoyed those chilled pawpaws,
yeah,
as his ending to his meal.
Yeah. And, you know, we forgot to even mention the reason it's called pawpaw. I saw that it got the name from European explorers who thought it looked like a papaya.
Right on
but
that,
yeah, but. So they came over here exploring and thought, oh, that's a papaya. So I guess they didn't want to be too original. They just kind of went with
funny?
Some like,
well, I can see the connection.
Slurred version of papaya.
Of that. Like, yeah. It's a little smaller, not as bright orange, but it has the seeds inside that are similar.
Yeah.
And another thing that I read in my research was the 13 miles between Williamsburg and Yorktown.
Okay.
Apparently, it's just lined with lots of pawpaws,
oh,
in that area.
Okay.
So,
so if you're around there,
that should be easier to find than for some of us.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would say it's funny because we said the South and you said the East as well. But even Ohio, should we talk about that? Ohio is full, apparently, of papaya.
It's their state.
Of pawpaw trees.
Their state fruit, right?
Yeah, it's their native state fruit. And so if you are a Ohioan, this is definitely something you have access to. And like we said, probably not in your grocery store, but if you've got a farmer's market.
Yeah.
Or if you've just
a friend that has land or
got an eye for, you know, keeping an eye out for it when you're traveling around in your area, you may even just see one. So yeah, Kentucky and Ohio are right in the middle of the native range. So
that's
definitely
so
those two states.
That's fine.
Should be being watchful for,
yeah,
this.
When I said the hillbilly banana, I've even heard it called the Kentucky banana.
Okay.
As well.
Okay.
So I think I read that somewhere. So yeah. Okay. One other thing I just thought was so fascinating. There is a particular butterfly.
Okay.
Called the zebra swallowtail butterfly. It is gorgeous.
That's a crazy name. Zebra swallowtail?
Yeah, you should look it up.
Okay.
It is so beautiful.
Okay.
So it's black and white,
okay,
hence the zebra. And it has like a red, little bit of red in the middle.
Okay.
It eats pawpaw leaves. Like, that's...
Wow. Oh my goodness, this is gorgeous.
What it loves to eat is pawpaw leaves. So I just thought that was so fascinating because... Yet another reason I'm kind of wanting to plant a pawpaw tree.
You should.
Or two. I guess I need a male and a female.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
not going to be out there with my paintbrush, though.
This butterfly literally looks like a zebra.
I want these butterflies to come around, and I want to eat the fruit. Sounds
wow.
so fun. Isn't it beautiful?
It's gorgeous.
So, anyway, I thought that was fascinating. Now, there's some other fruits in the same family as the pawpaw that I thought I would just mention in case somebody has had any of these.
Okay.
They're going to at least, you know, be cousins.
Sure.
So you're in the same family. And these are even more tropical.
Okay.
Okay, so these others in the same family are soursop. I'm probably going to butcher these names. Don't laugh, y'all. Rollinia, custard apple, and okay. cherimoya. So okay. if you've ever had any of these, apparently soursop's pretty. People know about that.
And, no idea. Yeah.
Anyway, so if you've tasted a cherimoya or a custard apple, you've got a similar cousin taste to the pawpaw.
But okay.
Anyway, if this is fascinating to you, I wanted to mention a couple of names and resources.
Oh, good. Okay.
Andrew Moore authored a book called Pawpaw, In Search of America's Forgotten Fruit.
Oh.
Yeah. So if you want to read more about this, and he believes that it's becoming forgotten because people aren't in nature as much.
Yeah.
We're not out gathering our food like right. we used to.
Right.
I was thinking when you mentioned those people that were wanting to
go back to
sustainable mm-hmm. living, you mm-hmm. know, you're going to want to get to know the pawpaw because apparently yeah. it's pretty, you know, resilient and
yeah.
does well in this area of the eastern or southeastern yeah. United States. And also, okay, so the guy that I mentioned earlier, his name is Neil Peterson.
Okay.
He is so passionate about pawpaws. He's cultivating various breeds
Aww.
Of pawpaws. You can get just extensive information, everything you would want to know, and then some on pawpaws, okay. and purchase trees
okay.
from his website. It's petersonpawpaws.com.
I love it.
Pretty straightforward. Yeah. He names his pawpaws from rivers.
Okay.
And he just had one that came out that was exclusive to the Southeast.
Oh, cool.
Anyway, so.
We should be selling that on our website. Just kidding.
So there you go. There's your pawpaw guru.
That's good. I'll link to both of those in our show notes.
And then anything else you wanted to say?
Just to reiterate, obviously I want to try one, but I feel like if there's a fruit that is native to my homeland, then it's meant to be a part of the sustenance of my personal body.
Oh,
otherwise,
yeah,
I'd be born somewhere else where other things grow.
That's so interesting. Yeah.
And so I was like, well, what if this has like nutrients
that
like
we need,
my personal body
needs? That's so fascinating.
You know, what if this
I do fully believe in eating what's in season and eating close to home and
yeah.
that kind of thing. And that makes perfect sense.
I mean, I've never read anything about worldwide if things are indigenous and then the people that are born there need those particular things, which is kind of the statement I'm making.
Yeah.
But it seems like that if you're born in a particular place at a particular time, that there's a reason.
Yeah.
And so I would
yeah.
think that food is
yeah.
a part of that.
Yeah.
I don't know. But at least I want to try one. So
I know. I'm on the hunt. This Peterson Pawpaws had a link on where you could purchase the fruit.
Okay.
So I go to that, and then they're sold out. So I'm like, well, that's,
okay.
you know.
Because everybody bought them to plant in August, I guess. Or no, to be.
Not the tree. The
okay.
actual. I wanted to just buy the fruit
yeah,
right
yeah.
now. I
mean, okay.
I wouldn't mind having a tree or two. I just think that would be so fun
yeah.
to have. But I just was thinking I want to get my hands on the fruit. And
yeah.
then I was thinking like, oh, it's all the fine dining restaurants. They probably got, you know.
They got dibs.
They always get the dibs on all the good meat. And
well, and it's funny
too. Do you know what I mean?
Because it kind of goes back to an episode we had a long time ago. I don't even remember what we called it. But we discussed fine dining restaurants using
like
ingredients.
Grits and stuff like that. Yeah.
That like if an Appalachian person from, let's say even 50 years ago, saw that on a menu, they'd be like laughing.
Or they definitely would be like, I ain't paying $50 for that.
Yes. Like, that's rolling around in grandma's backyard.
Exactly.
Why is it on the menu here? Yeah.
Yeah. So that may be why it's sold out. But I'm on the hunt.
Cool.
For a pawpaw. Just a few more things I'll throw out. Pawpaw Appreciation Day, you know, these calendars
Stop
that are,
it.
I'm not kidding, September 16th.
Oh, it's coming up. Okay.
So I want to have one on September 16th. Okay. Whoever can set me up with a pawpaw, I want one.
Join us September 16th as we bite into a pawpaw.
And there are festivals and towns named Pawpaw. Well, I just had to give the shout out.
Is that where we should go then to get... Are they far from us?
A little further. Okay. So Newport News, Virginia has Pawpaw Appreciation Day on August 21st this year.
Okay.
At Inview Plantation.
Okay.
There is in Albany, Ohio, September 17th to 19th is the Pawpaw Festival.
Okay. Again, there you go, Ohio. They've claimed it. So that's right. Better be a festival.
I believe Frederick, Maryland has a festival on September 18th. And there is a town called Pawpaw, West Virginia.
Oh, wow.
And they have a celebration September 3rd through 5th, which I think is Labor Day. Labor Day-ish time.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So,
wow.
This is a timely subject. If you're in any of those places, jump to your festival, and I hope there's enough pawpaws for everybody who attends.
That's right. There's your Pawpaw 101. That was such a good overview. I'm so glad to know it. And now I'm so glad that hopefully we've got some more people on the lookout for them so that they can be enjoyed by the people and not just laying on the ground.
Yeah. I will say one other little thing. If you do find one, I saw different ways that people eat it, you know, with a spoon. But you can even, if you picture, like, let's picture it's, you're not cutting it where it's open lengthwise, but you cut it down the middle where it's now two. How do you describe that? You're better at things like this.
Like there's a almost like a top and a bottom.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. You can just squeeze it.
Oh.
Do you see what I'm saying? And yes, the seeds are going to come too, but like it's custardy enough that you can just eat it without anything in nature.
This is like the ultimate baby food pouch too. They sell all those pouches in stores for like baby food on the go.
Hilarious.
This is it.
Yeah.
This is nature's version of Gerber baby pouch.
How fun is that?
That's great. Well, thanks for bringing this up. And
ask your pawpaw if he's ever had a pawpaw.
Oh, well played, well played. Yes. Well, we do hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you are loving this podcast, we would so appreciate you sharing this with your friends. That's the very, very best way that anyone can find any podcast.
That's right. That's what I do.
And so you have influence over people in your life that we don't. And so we would so appreciate you sharing us with the friends and family that you love. Okay.
Peace be with you.
And also with y'all.